ay,
ay. Hey, chevra. It's good to be together. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. More so than that, Mamish, as we enter into Rosh Chodesh Adar, just to say the words, Rosh Chodesh Adar, we've all been waiting for a year. Maybe this year more than any. For the Simcha of Adar, to be uplifted by Adar. A few days ago, I started to think about what we're going to talk about tonight, what we're going to learn about tonight. I said, only one thing to talk about, to learn about, it's Adar. Even earlier tonight, I gave a senior chizik to seniors in DRS, and I waited till the last minute. Like, earlier in the day, I was writing up a shmooze for them, and I went through all inyan and mishpatim and midos. And then I davened tonight, Maharev, and said, Yal v'yavo. And I said, I took the sheet, threw it to the side. When I got up, I said, that's it, we just have to talk about Adar and Simcha. What else is there to talk about? Because what else is there? What else do we want? What else do we need? And the world needs Simcha. The world needs increased Simcha. Mishenichnas Adar... Marbin b'simcha. Mishenichnas Adar, marbin b'simcha. As we enter into the month of Adar, and we're entering in, it's Rosh Chodesh Adar. We know it's not yet Adar until Shabbos Kodesh. This year, not only is Shushan Purim on Shabbos Kodesh, but we start Adar Shabbos Kodesh. I mean, it has to fall out that way. And that tells us something. There's definitely going to be an enhanced simcha. Of course we always have to be b'simcha. And that's what we want more than anything. In this past year, from Adar la'Adar, it's been a year where it's been challenging to have the simcha, each and every one of us on our levels. Even those of us here that try to stay above it, Hashem understands, I'm even Yavin, you know what I'm talking about. Even those of us who try to stay above it all, we're still challenged to have the same simcha and the same levels of simcha. And there were a lot of nisyonos, and there were a lot of challenges, and a lot of occurrences, and a lot of tragedies that pull at the strings of simcha. And yet, has to try to always be b'simcha. It's the famous Torah of the Kotzke Rebbe, Zecher Tzadikas Shevracha. We can't not start tonight without just saying it over. And I'm sure everybody in this room knows the Torah. And if you didn't know it was the Kotzke Rebbe's Torah, but you know the Torah. But some Torah needs chevra, come perfect. There's chairs. If not, you get more chairs. You'll learn. Some Torah needs to be chazer, needs to be reviewed, needs to be set over, and needs to be lived. There's Torahs that we know and that we could say and that we enjoy talking and we enjoy learning. And there are Torahs that we have to live. And I can't think offhand of a Torah that we have to live more than this Torah of the Kotzke Rebbe Zecher Tzadikas Shevracha of Nachum Mendel Kotzk. And it's incredible that it came from the Kotzker, because if you know about the Kotzker and you learn about the Kotzker and you read about the Kotzker, obviously the Kotzker was very sharp, the sruf. But you have this, often we have this vision of the Kotzker, a very straight and charif, intense, a lot of intensity, obviously very real, authentic, but very intense. And we have to keep that in mind when he taught us this Torah. Because he's telling us what it is to be a Yid. What it is to be a Yid. And he tells us, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha, when you enter into Adar, you increase your simcha. But that's a Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav Tes, we all know. We hear it, we know. Some people think it's a song. Some people think it's a song. Ichbeistish, like, I don't know, Mordechai Shapiro wrote it, you know? That wasn't Chas Shom. I love Mordechai as a close friend. No, I don't mean that. I didn't mean it. That wasn't meant Chas Shom. If you're listening, Mordechai, I love you. I love your family. Mordechai's oldest brother, Avi, sang under my chuppah. His brother Josh was my classmate in MTA, the whole mishpacha. I don't mean this But you know, people think that. Or pick your ad lib, your singer, whatever it was. It's a song because a shira is a tefillah that we're taking the Gemara and we're elevating it to a level of shira. The Gemara in Tainis Chavtes and say Mishnech Zadam Arbe Simcha. But that Gemara in Tainis, it contrasts the month of Adar to the month of Av. It says Kishem Shemishnech Nas Av Mematim Besimcha. You can bring chairs on this side here. Kach Mishnech Nas Adar Marbe Besimcha. Just like when you enter into Av, you diminish your simcha, so to an Adar you increase your simcha. Comes the Katzke Rebbe. The Katzke Rebbe says, we learn from this Gemara that a Yid has to always be besimcha. That a Jew should always be happy. And you see it in these words. It's a simple, logical deduction. Because the Gemara says, when you enter into Av, you enter into a month of Tisha B'Av, you enter into a month with the 9 days and a time period when we commemorate all the tragedies of all of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't say to get rid of our simcha altogether. It doesn't say to obliterate your simcha. It says memayit. What's memayit mean? Diminish, lower. Lower, but you still have some. Even on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara is telling you, be besimcha. As you sit on the floor crying, with ashes on your head, as the Ribnitzer would sit on the floor, mamish filling bowls of tears. That was mamait, that was diminishing. He still had some. What does that mean, still some? Because a Yid understands, simcha doesn't mean I'm dancing and I'm singing. Simcha means I'm content. I understand this Hashem. I understand kol ma'ad v'rachma al tav of it. All that Hashem does is for good. I'm sad right now, and simultaneously I'm besimcha. Because I'm okay, I'm not depressed, I'm not down and out. So mishenichnas av mamatim, diminish. But by definition, if it says diminish, what if also does that take in hand? That means I had simcha beforehand. I had simcha, and now I have to diminish it. So I had simcha, now diminish it. Comes Adar, ink marbim besimcha. The Gemara doesn't say, and we don't sing, start being besimcha, suddenly now be besimcha. Marbim, increase your simcha. First of all, again, taking into account, we must have had beforehand. You could only increase if you already had. I had simcha, now increase it, now I have more. In other words, the Gemara is telling us, the Katzker says, there are times when we increase our simcha. You have a chasna, we're increasing our simcha. We have a simcha's tayru, we're increasing our simcha. Adar, we're increasing our simcha. There are times when we diminish our simcha. Over this past year, there were many times when we diminished our simcha. And we went to levayas, and there are machlas. In difficult times, we diminish our simcha. There are times when we increase, there are times when we decrease, but we're always besimcha. We're always besimcha. That's how we have to live our lives. Is there a more important Torah to live by? Not to learn, but to live by than this Torah. But we have to connect and understand how. And we have to connect and understand how. During this month, we're going to increase our simcha because we're entering into Adar, Mishnechnas Adar, Marbim b'simcha. We have to increase our simcha. How are we going to do it? And simcha, again, we've proven from the fact that we have to have it here on Tisha B'Av. It's not talking about so dancing and singing, which has its place, and it's not talking about holelus, meaningless, empty joy. You know, Chvesnish, this past Sunday, you know, there were a lot of people that also had a lot of joy. A lot of joy, and they're smiling and doing and chveshnis because the people they root for threw a pigskin around the field and they won a game. Okay, it's nice, shkoyach. Let's be real, those of us that I watched some of the game, I did. MS Eschatayani Maskar Yom. I'll explain that after, maybe in the shir, why and whatever it was. I watched a little bit of the game. Complete waste of time. It was even a terrible game. It's one thing if you're watching a good game and competition, there was no competition, it was terrible. It was a waste of time. If you didn't feel at the end of that game that you're just mevatel zman and you should have been doing so many other things, then we need to check what we're doing with ourselves. It was a complete waste of time. It was a terrible game. Memela was a good game, and it was a terrible game. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, okay, it was his team, but they were terrible. How did they get there? I mean, I don't even know. L'maisa, but that joy, that's holelus, that's a shkoyach. What's real simcha? How do we increase real simcha? And if we increase real simcha, we understand what it is. We can have it always. Because I want it always. I want to always be besimcha. So chaver, it's Adar. And we're preparing for Purim. So we have to talk deep Torahs. Panemius dikka Torahs. I'm going to go for a journey tonight. You know, when I entered this past week, as I was preparing for Adar, so there are different avodas of learning. I was learning a lot of Torah from the Tosha Rebbe, which I don't know if we're going to get to tonight. That was more on Purim. Eventually. Bez Hashem is Baruch. Hopefully, Bez Hashem, we're going to all have Purim Mishulash in Yerushalayim HaKadosh. So we don't have to prepare. Everyone's nervous. Everyone's nervous for Friday Purim, Friday Suda. How are we going to work it out? Why are we nervous? It's not going to be Friday Suda. It's going to be Sunday Suda. Purim Mishulash, learn the Halacha. When you have a Purim Mishulash, Mikra Megillah is Thursday night, Friday. Okay, so we'll hear the Megillah Thursday night, Friday. When do you have your Suda? Sunday. So what are we nervous about figuring out the times? We're all going to have Sunday Suda and Purim Mishulash in Yerushalayim HaKadosh. Nothing to worry about. Mirz Hashem. So the way a Yid who understands Amkus and wants to understand Amkus of a Chodesh prepares for a Chodesh for every month is you open up a B'nai Sasker. And then you get confused and have no idea what he's talking about. But you know what you know? You know there's depth here. At least you know there's depth in every month. And every month has meaning, has purpose, has Amkus, has Ein Sof to it. When you learn through B'nai Sasker. So I learned through this week the B'nai Sasker, the first piece on Adar. And tonight we're just going to try to bring down to our level to understand the Halakha Torah of B'nai Sasker so we could understand Adar and understand where the Simcha of Adar could come from. The B'nai Sasker explains, based on Torah from the Sefer Yetzirah, that the letter for the month of Adar is, no, any of you ever know, is the letter Kuf. Every letter, every month has an ois, has a letter that corresponds to that month. The month of Adar is the letter Kuf. Already we're getting somewhere that we don't even know where we're going, but the letter Kuf. He already, for some reason, and he explains a little bit, brings in, which he doesn't usually do, that what the letter for the month of Nisan is. Meaning you'd think I don't need to talk about Nisan yet, because I'm in Adar. I'll get to Nisan when I get to Nisan, one thing at a time. But if you learn Rashi on the Gemara we just darshan from the Kotzker, you'll see that Rashi says, Mishenichon Zadim Arben Simcha, Minisim Shel Purim U'Pesach. So clearly there's a connection, and Adar and Nisan are somewhat of one unit. We also know next year we're going to have two Adars. How do you know when you have Purim? Smichas Gula L'Gula, that you have to have Adar, the Purim Dika Adar has to be next to Nisan. So the B'nai Sasker already foreshadows for us and lets us know in Adar, that the letter for the month of Nisan is the letter Hey. So Adar is Kuf, and Nisan is Hey. What does this all mean? So let's first, Nisan is a little easier to understand. What does it mean Nisan is the letter Hey? The letter Hey represents the Shekhinah. The letter Hey is the last, it's also the second, but it's the last letter of Shema Vaya, Yudke Vavke. And therefore, it's the letter that connects HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain sense to this world. It's the Shekhinah residing in this world, the letter Hey. When we write out Hashem, and you're writing, you don't want to write Hashem's name because you don't want to put in Shemus and whatever, what do we write? We just write a Hey. That's the representation of Hashem's name in this world. The Shekhinah in this world is the letter Hey. Behei Baram. Behei Baram, right? In Parshas Bereishis, it was with the letter Hey that everything was created. That Hey of Shekhinah. Hashem's interaction with this world, and that makes a lot of sense. Why the month of Nisan is Pesach. Pesach with the Ten Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, Gila Shekhinah, the biggest revelation where God was so clear. Where God was in front of our eyes more than any other month, more than any other time. Where we knew there's Eibishter, you knew there's the Ribbono Shel'Olam. Front and center. Letter Hey. That makes sense, okay? We're starting, right? We can understand that. What's the letter Kuf? So first of all, what happens when you go from Hey to Kuf? Bigamatria. What happens when you go from Hey to Kuf? Bigamatria. You go from 5 to 100. How many is that? How many more do you need? 95. To go from Hey to Kuf, unfortunately, sounds like something very negative. To go from Nisan back to Adar, from Hey to Kuf, Hey where you have revelations, Gilei Shechina, Nisim Gluyim, to Adar is 95. From 5 to 100 is 95. 95 is Gematria Haman. Haman who takes over, who almost abolishes us. 95 is also Gematria Kase Ka. Amalek was Yod Al Kase Ka. Amalek was Yod Al Kase Ka. Their hand was on the throne of Hashem. Kase Ka, Chav Samach Yod Hey. It's also 95. It's Amalek's power on some level. So we're getting somewhere. Meaning Kuf, or the change from Hey to Kuf, is Haman, is Amalek, is not good. But what is this all about? What are we talking about? And we could talk. A lot of times you go and you hear these deep ideas and we try to learn a little deeper Torah and we learn it. We try to learn a B'nai Sassel, try to open up a Zohar, and try to open up the Lamaisa. We can read the words, we can translate. Well, Lamaisa, what does it mean? Because if you don't understand what it means, what is it? It doesn't mean it's not worthwhile and there's not koiches that you gain even from that, but Lamaisa. So to honor and understand this, the B'nai Sassel already brings down himself a Zohar. And this Zohar is the next key to understanding the difference in this Hay and this Kuf. And I think once we see the Zohar, we can start to really understand. And Mamish, bring out his side of life. I'm excited. Mamish, last night, I was working on this last night, 1:30 in the morning. That's when this came together, Emes, this year. And my close Chaver Tov, my best friend in the world, who's more like a brother, Dr. Shlomo Kaufman, who the Chaver has heard of over the years. So he called me at 1:30 in the morning, and I said, we had to talk about different inyanim, whatever it was, what's going on. And we spoke about what we had to speak about a few minutes, and then I said, Shlomo, we got to talk over the Torah. And he added some nekudas, and Mamish, we're developing it a little bit together in a sense, and it, ever since 1:30 in the morning, I could hardly sleep last night. And Mamish could hardly sleep last night, and Mamish was waiting to give this over to the Chevra. So the Zohar says as follows. It's in Truma, Kuf, Mem, Ches, and Mebeis. This Zohar, the B'nai Yisrael brings down already. I'm not holding a Zohar to put the Zohar together already with this Hay and this Kuf. But hopefully we're going to give Pirish in the Zohar. The Zohar says as follows. Eishes Chayil. A woman of valor, which is on some level a representation of the Eibishter. Ha'urishima v'as delay e'yu as hey. The letter of that Shechina, the letter of that Godless Vashem and his connection to this world is the letter hey. That we already explained that. I mean, on some level. But then he goes on. And he says, V'hochi is chazilah. And that's what's befitting. It's befitting the letter Hey. Again, the last letter of Shem Avaya. The letter Hey is that letter of Hashchina. Eishes Zenunim. Eishes Zenunim, this promiscuous, terrible, znos, right, woman. Hirishima v'os dileyu kagavna d'itzrich. What does that mean? It leaves an imprint, and its letter is what it needs to be. Let me keep on reading. It's trying to be. It's trying to be like, it's still an Ashes. It's trying to be like Hashem in a certain sense. Something that's trying to be, like you could try to be like God, right? The letter is the letter Kuf. And that letter Kuf is really only fixed when you hit the letter Hey. Meaning, in a certain sense, the letter Kuf has to become the letter Hey, but it's not. Okay, the Kuf is trying to be like the Hey, but it's not the Hey. Okay, again, bear with me. We're going to explain all this. But we have to first learn it. And listen to what he says. Because the letter Kuf, what does Kuf also mean in Hebrew? Kuf? What's Kuf?
Monkey.
Monkey. So there's a connection to that. The letter Kuf means kaif monkey. Look, listen to what the Zohar says. You can't, I can't make this up. Trust me, I'm just reading from the Zohar. Look. Sefer Zohar HaKadosh, Menucha, Metuk Mitzvah, don't. The Zohar says, Ki gavna de kaifa eitzel b'nei nasha. Just like a monkey imitates a person. Meaning the letter kuf, listen to what he says. The letter kuf is imitating the hay, like a monkey imitates a person. The azla baser b'nei nasha, it just does what the person does. It's copying monkey see, monkey do. Monkey see, monkey do. That's the ois kuf in connection to the letter hay. Letter hay is Eibishter Shechina, and kuf is an imitation, a fake, a facade, trying to copy. V'lo is takin l'ma'avid hachi. But it can't actually be like it, obviously. That's the Zohar, and now let's start to understand Chevra. Now we're getting there. The letter hey again is revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gilei Shechina, is Nisan, is all Hashem in all its clarity. The letter kuf is Adar. What does that mean? The Zohar tells us the letter kuf is an imitation of the letter hey. It's monkey see, monkey do, but it's not real, it's fake. The monkey is not a person, it's a monkey. It's in the jungle, it's in the zoo. What is an imitation? What is an imitation, Chavra? An imitation looks like the real thing. It might feel like the real thing. It might work the same way. Crazy, we spoke about this in a different light a couple months ago. We were giving over, some of the chevra might remember. You know, you go to Canal Street. You go to Canal Street and you might pick up a Rolex for $25. Now, it might have all the designs of the Rolex. And as the symbol of the Rolex, it's got the crown. It works. It's the mechanism of time works. A good fake? Okay, a good fake you're not going to get for $25. So you pay $250. You get a good fake. It looks the same. It feels the same. You get a good fake. Chmeshmesh. Ask the vibers. They go and get a Prada bag. And it's got the Prada symbol. And it's got the same designs. It's like multi-million dollar businesses, the world of fakes. They look the same, they feel the same. So what's the difference? The difference is just the money you pay for it. Mamish, certain fakes, if it's made well, you can get away with it forever. If you really want, go online, buy a nice black jacket, a nice black coat. You order on Amazon for $5 a patch that says Montclair. A real one, you know, like it looks real. You put it on there. You look the same. It looks the same. It feels the same. Nobody's going to know the difference. You're going to be just as cool. Just as cool. Okay, you know, I'm on clear. It's too much. You got a Canada Goose. Whatever does it for you. The knuckles. Whatever you want to do. Do whatever it is. But you know what's missing? It looks the same. It feels the same. It's all that. But you know what's missing? It's missing the neshama. It's mamish. It's missing the essence. There's something you know it's not the same. You're wearing a fake, you know it's not the same. And somehow even people, they might not be able to prove it or see it. There's something lacking. It's not even, it looks exactly the same. It feels, it's missed because the neshama is missing. And the neshama is so much deeper. The neshama is not the exterior. It's not the body. It's not the make. It's the essence is missing. Because the Chvezer, where Montclair puts together their coats, there's a reason it's $1,000 for the coat. They do it with love. There's something, no, MS. I'm not just saying, like, there's got to be this more depth there. There's more, chvesis, they pluck the feathers like one by one and they put it in. They don't just, it's not just some artificial and you could, and there's a difference. The neshama is different. Mama, a Rolex timepiece? Swiss, you know what they do to put together a Rolex timepiece? They handmade piece by piece, little thing by little, the mechanism, the... So then you buy the fake. Again, the fake on the outside looks the same. It feels the same. The neshama, the essence, the soul of it is missing, is lacking. So comes along Nisan. Nisan is Eibishter. Nisan, the neshama is everywhere. Nisan, Eibishter is everywhere. It's the letter A, it's good. You know what comes Adar? Adar, we know, is the month of concealment. Adar is the month of Purim. You read through the Purim story. You give it to Ichvestis. You give it to a non-Jew to read through the Purim story. Wow, that's great. They made a movie out of this yet? They made a movie. This is a great story. Look, coincidence after coincidence. Holy cow, this would be a great movie. Great movie. Wow, the princess is taking it. Great movie. So that's the month of the whole month of Adar, the month of Teva. What is Teva? What is nature? Nature to an outsider. Nature to a chvesus, as we say here, Chevra understands a hole digger, you know, to the hole diggers. I may even yavin what I'm talking about, but not for now. To the hole diggers, they look, and a tree, it's a tree. And it's nice, and it's beautiful, and it grows, and it's somewhat miraculous, but you know, there's science to it. It's like COVID, everything's science, with all, you know, everything has to be a rhyme and a reason, and make sense, which makes no sense. You know, make sense, but make no sense. And you look at anything that's physical, anything physical, this is a chash of a watch. Look, it's a chash of a watch. It's a lot of money for this watch. It's good, it's nice, it's made nicely. But it's all physical, it's all exterior, right? It's all teva. But it's made to be chashiv. It wants to be chashiv. It wants to be something special. Elon Musk is making billions and billions of dollars because he's putting out these cars that are supposed to be, it's special. I'm driving, I'm not even driving anymore, I'm just sitting back and it's driving for me and I'm enjoying and I'm living it up and I have the status piece because I charge my car through my driveway and this is already, wow, it's life, it does it by itself, it must be God already. This is chashiv. Like, this is incredible. And it takes on like a life of its own. If this is the end. This is it. But everything, if you stop and think, all of this teva, all the materialism of the world, which has an imagery and a feeling of chashivas to it, a meaning, as if there's meaning in having a Tesla and having a Montclair and having this gorgeous house and having whatever does it for you. Fill in the blank. I don't know whatever does it for you. Like, that has meaning. You know what that all is? Elohim Acherim. It's all Elohim Acherim. It's Elohim. It's like as if it's powerful and special and awesome. It's Elohim Acherim. Lo yielecha Elohim Acherim. That's what it is. Imitations. But it's trying to feel like it's important, just as the Eibishter. It's trying to be like the hay. It's trying to be like the hay. And that's what Amalek comes to do to us. Yad al kes ka. And that's what Haman tried to do with us. I'm powerful. I'm chashiv. I'm a god. It made my... Right, what does Haman go? We all learned the Gemara and he puts an idol and... Why do you want everyone to bow down to him? He was saying, I'm God. I'm like the hay. I'm the god. I'm powerful. I'm important. I'm chashiv. Amalek, we could, God just did these 10 makos splitting and see, that's nothing. We could take over. We think we're just as special. So what is all that? But Lamaisa, they're strong. Amalek's strong. Haman was strong. Lamaisa, Tesla's a nice car. But it's missing the neshama. It's missing the neshama. It's missing the soul. When you stop and think about it for 1 minute, you know it's all emptiness. It's all imitation. It's all imitation pleasures. Some of us had the schus to be together a few nights ago, where our Rebbe, Reb Matzal Zilber, Shlita, the Tachina Rebbe, came to our community to give us chizuk and soros. Usually we have to go to him. Yeah, you should get the recording and listen. Most of what he said, I can't tell over. Let's just say it wouldn't go on why you tell Rosh Hashanah. I may have been yavin. But at one point he was, he said over, someone asked him, you know, Rebbe, why is it so important that I can't overindulge in gashmias? And I want to enjoy the good steaks. I want to enjoy, and again, we're allowed to on some level, and we'll get to that in a few moments. So he answered him in such a brilliant way. He says, imagine you have like a young adult, a chresnish, an adult, and he decides he likes to play with baby toys. He wants to play with baby toys. He wants to play with rattles and dolls, and he likes it. That's what he likes. And you tell him, you know, there's way more hush of things than that. Like, there's way more, but this is what he likes. This is what he's doing. This is what I enjoy. That's what it is to enjoy the gashmis in this world, and to think that that's important. You're playing with baby toys. It's just imitations to what's really important. Okay, shkoyach, when you're a baby and you don't understand that, you play with baby toys. We should grow out of that and want much higher level pleasures and much more important things in our life, and no longer be running after a guf, but run after an neshama. And these are imitations. They're guf. It's a koif. It's a monkey. Is a monkey a person? So some think that we came from monkeys because they're the same ones that run after the imitations of the world. The people who think that we came from monkeys run after monkey things. Is that who we are? Is that who we are? A ben melech, mamleches koinim v'gay kadosh. We want the kuf. We want the kuf, or we want the hay. We're into the imitations. You want the fake things. You're gonna get engaged and buy your wife a cubic zirconia. I don't know if you'll make it to the wedding. It's not gonna happen. It's just not gonna happen. You want authentic. You want real. You gotta be real. So you gotta be real in life and find the neshama, and not the imitations, not the kuf. But you know what's so amazing as us as Yidden? You know what's so amazing us as Yidden? Is that we understand the MS. In the imitation, is actually also a neshama. They just don't see it. Many just don't see it. They see it only as an imitation, and they're lost in that world. We understand in the imitation there's also the neshama. We understand, no, I could enjoy a good steak, but elevated to connect to the Kedusha of the Eibishter. We understand that in all Gashmias there's actually Rabbeinu Shalom. If done properly in the right amount, obviously. We understand that all that's in this world is Kedusha. And we see it in that. And we don't get sidetracked to fall prey to limit ourselves just to the imitations. When we're involved in those physical things, we find the depth in it. We find the kedusha in it. That's why when I was talking this over with my friend Shlomo, he said, the emes is the kuf. You're right. It's the imitation of the hay. But you know, if you look closely at the kuf, within the kuf is a hay. Meaning within the kuf is a hay. It just then goes a little longer and imitates. And we could find the hay within the kuf. We have to find, that's our avoda. Our avoda is not necessarily, we're not taught and we shouldn't practice abstinence. That's not what we believe in. We believe there is pleasure in this world, physical pleasure in this world. But only properly used when we find the hay in it, when we find the shechina in it. When we elevate a Bikdusha Vatara. Shem, once you have a beautiful, incredible relationship with your wife, in an intimate, beautiful, modest, proper way, al pi halacha, and develop that relationship in a beautiful way. Don't fall prey to all the imitations that are thrown in our face 24/7 in the sick world that we live in. Find the hay. You want to enjoy good food? Vad, enjoy good food. Shabbos Kodesh. And make kiddush on a delicious wine. And have beautiful Shabbos Suda to elevate Shabbos. And make beautiful brachas to elevate and find the hay within it. And find and look for kedusha and find hay within everything. You know, I said before, I watched some of the Super Bowl. I watched some of the Super Bowl for various reasons. I don't have to talk about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just analyze for a moment. Again, I didn't watch the whole game, obviously. I never bring myself in. I watched a little bit of it. And anyone who, okay, some of you hopefully have no idea what I'm about to talk about. I hope some have no idea. Those who do, we could admit. And I mean, you don't need to raise your hand, but you understand what I'm... But I'll tell you the way to look at the way I walked away from the Super Bowl. First, I watched it for the reason I watched it. It was okay, fine, whatever. It just take too long to do. It's not that I'm afraid. We could talk about it after Shir if you want. It's just not for during Shir. Lameisa. Listen, my little kid, my son, he wanted to watch a little bit. He doesn't, honestly, wait. He doesn't even know if, he hardly, he, we throw around the football a little bit. He's the cutest, Uriel, he's the cutest thing in the world. He's 6 years old. His friends were talking about the Super Bowl. He says, oh, can we watch a little Super Bowl? I said, do you know what sport the Super Bowl is? He said, football. I said, do you know who's playing in it? He says, yeah, the Black Pirates against the Red Pirates. This is what he said. The Black Pirates against the Red Pirates. Okay? I don't know how to talk, but anyways, that's what he said. So I said, do you know any names of the players? No, I don't know any players of players. I said, okay. So I said, yeah, you know what, Uriel, you could watch a little bit. I'm trying to figure out how do I watch the game. I don't even know how to watch the game. I don't know how to, so I figure out, I go on my wife's computer. It's only, and she's a woman, so she has Amazon. Obviously, Amazon Prime, because if you're a woman in this day and age, that's how I guess we have everything here. I don't know, whatever. That's just how it gets here. PlayStation. Yeah, all you need in this world these days is Amazon Prime and Gourmet Glad, I think. I think those are the only two things. I don't know if you need anything else, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't know how things happen. I have an incredible wife, Baruch Hashem. Anyways, so I found out on Amazon Prime, you just go and that's where you watch the Super Bowl. I don't know how you got, I don't know, but I'm just, anyways, Lameisa. So I say, okay, so he goes on the couch. I go, we were eating dinner, and it was already, I don't know where they were up to, but I said, Uriel finished. He's like, kind of, I said, you're okay, Chvesnish, go watch a little bit. And I come, it was so cute. He set himself up, he had a pillow and blanket, and he won by Father's Son Learning this past Matzah Shabbos. They gave him this big, massive, like, stuffed jet player. I don't know, Chves, but with a, wearing like a thing. So he set it up to watch with him. I don't I say, this is it. This is how real this really is. If you stop and break it down, you're just seeing a bunch of men running each other, throwing a leather ball. So yeah, so the doll could watch the game also. What's the difference? But anyways, Lameisus, I was watching with him a little bit, a few minutes. I'm not saying I wasn't intrigued about the matchup about Mahomes and Brady. I'm not saying I wasn't. I'm just also saying I wouldn't care enough to watch. But Lameisa, I'll just tell you how you could be Makadish even that. I watched, okay, it was a waste of time because, like I said, it was a terrible game. But what you saw, if you watched the game, where the game was won and lost was at the line. It was the offensive line, was the defensive line. There's no question. I mean, the secondary of the Tampa Bay was also probably incredible. You just don't see that in the screen ever. You don't even know what they're doing. You just assume because you can't make any throws. But the line was, the Tampa Bay line both ways was just incredible. And what's incredible also, the line, obviously, are the individuals that get the least credit. This is what I walked away from the game. I just want to show you, just find the hay in a game. Right? The line are the people that get the least credit. Because we live in a sports world where all the credit is due to those who get stats. So when you're watching a hockey game, for example, a guy could play an incredible game, but if he didn't have a goal or an assist, he's never going to be one of the three stars of the game. It's just not going to happen. Because we live in a world that's all about stats, which has a reason for it, because ultimately you can't win a game without the stats. The stats are what build up the score. But you have, for example, the offensive linemen who can't have any stats, and they can have a major impact on the line, on the game. Major. And this game was clearly won at that line. The offensive linemen, the defensive linemen, even the linemen can have some stats, but not close to as many as other players. They don't get the same credit. So I was thinking about it, Chavre, just to listen on the side, just to see how you can find a hay in a kuf. Not that I was saying this is a kuf that we all should partake in. I'm just explaining something. But to each their own. Everybody's on their own levels, and you have to know what's best for you. Everybody has to know where they're holding and their level of precious and level. Chanoich l'nar pidarko doesn't stop when you're 15, 16. It's your whole life. It's a big Torah, but for another time. L'maisa. I was thinking about it. You know, so too in the Yiddishkeit, often we judge ourselves on our stats. This is what I was thinking about. We judge ourselves on our stats. What are our stats? How much did I learn today? How much did I daven today? You know, how many people I helped today? What mitzvahs I did today? That's my stats. That's my stat line. But you know, it's just as, if not more important than my stat line? My offensive and defensive line. You know what that is? Those are the gedarim of my life. And that's what enables me to set myself up for success. So when I go and I make sure that we're in the end of the Yimei Shoivim and I make sure that my phone is filtered to the extent that I can't bring myself, even if I had a taiva one night, to look at anything. So ultimately, I think the stat is that I didn't look that night, which is beautiful and wonderful. But what about that gedder? That gedder was the defensive line to ensure that I can't fall. That gedder that I put up was just as important, if not more important, and defines all my success. My hagdaros in my life, in all the areas of my life, to ensure that I daven, ensure that I learn, ensure that those are my lines. So you watch a game a few minutes, you can find the hay within the kuf. Big chizik. In all areas of life. But our avodah is in anything we do, to do it with the neshama, to do it with the hay. And here the B'nai Yisrael continues, and listen to this Medrash Pliya. Medrash Pliya and how he explains it, and how it's mamish, I think, emish mamit on everything we're saying right now, from the halig of Rav Shimshon Ashtapali. And if I just mentioned Rav Shimshon Ashtapali, the chevru should start dancing, getting ready for the Torah. Because we know any time the Rav Shimshon Ashtapali has a Torah, it's mamish the deepest Torah of deepest Torahs. We should probably not say over his Torahs except on Purim like we do the Yira Kaddish. I'll just mention Yira Kaddish. Pesach Hashem is Baruch. So he brings down the Medrash Pliya, the B'nai Sasker, and he says, Esther asked Klapi Shemaya, why did we deserve to be destroyed? Why, again, it was Nechtam already, we'd be destroyed. Why did we deserve to be destroyed? And was answered, because we became Mach V'Rosh. Very strange lashon. Mach v'rush, very low, impoverished, destroyed. We became mach v'rush. Okay, we became mach v'rush, we deserved to be destroyed. And what did she do? She screamed out to bring Yeshua. What are the famous words of Esther? Keli, Keli, from Tehillim, Keli, Keli, lama azavtani. Keli, Keli, lama azavtani. We're getting ready, Shlomo, yeah. Kaylee, Kaylee, Lama, Zaftani. If Chever doesn't know, Arya Kunstler, together with Yosef Kaduna, have such a beautiful song to these words, Mamish, Meinol Mhaba. I had, when Rabbi Yosef was here playing a few months ago, I had him sing this song. It was the first time he said he did it live, because he only did it with Arya. I have a video I'll show Chever after, Meinol Mhaba, Rabbi Yosef. I mean, everything from Rabbi Yosef's Meinol Mhaba. But anyways, what's pshat? They were mach v'rush, it says, Kaylee, Kaylee, listen to this Torah, mamish, from Rav Shimshon Ashtapali. First of all, before we get to that, mach and rush together in Gematria is 560. Mach and rush is 560, which is two times minatzpach, the sophist letters. Mem, nun, sadi, peichav, right? The sophist letters. Now, if you know al pi Kabbalah deeply, the sophist letters are letters of din, of judgment. And two times because they're the sophists, not the regular ones, the sophist ones. So two times minatzpach is exactly gematria mach v'rush. So you see, mach v'rush brought a lot of churban, was din. Keli Keli is gematria 82, which is chazdei. So Esther was bringing chazdei Hashem kilo samnu, was trying to bring the chesed of Hashem to combat the mach v'rush of din. But that's very deep. What does that mean? So listen to Rav Shimshon Ashtapali. You ready, Chevy? Listen to Rav Shimshon Ashtapali. Rav Shimshon Ashtapali says, He brings down a Zohar. And we know there are different Malachi Asharis that surround Hashem, that take care of Hashem. But there's also a Malach that takes care of us. One of the Malachim takes care of us. Which is the Malach, the Tapitrepus of Yisrael? Which is the Malach, the Tapitrepus of Yisrael? It's the one that helps us get away from the Samach Mem. Samach Mem is Gematria how much? Samach Mem? 100. So this Malach has to defeat it. The Malach which is Gematria 101, which Malach am I talking about? Michal. Shkoich. Michal is the Zohar says the Tapitrepus of Yisrael. The shame of a Malach that gives it chiyus is the neshama of it, is the Eibishter in it. When you have Michael, in Michael is Keli. In Yisrael is Keli. What happens when you take Keli out of Michael? What are you left with? What are you left with when you take Keli out of Yisrael? Mach. What are you left with when you take Keli out of Yisrael? Rush. Esther came. Listen to this from Shimshon Stroll. You can't make this stuff up. Torah is Hashem to be Moshiach's Nafash. You need him. That's why you want to sell someone in Yiddishkeit, on Emistic, on life. Just learn Torah. You hear a Torah like this. Is anything sweeter? Is that anything more special? Listen to this. You can't. Mamish, unbelievable. People waste their life on other imitations. Kuf. This is the hay. Listen, Chevra. You have no Keli in Michael who takes care of us, who watches over us, who helps us to be Yetzirah. You're left with Mach. You have no Keli in Yisrael. Keli is the neshama of the Malach. Is the Kedusha, the Ruchni of the Malach. So Esther said to Hashem, what happened to Bnei Yisrael? How'd this happen to them? And what does Hashem say back? They became Mach V'Rash. Meaning they lost the neshama of their lives. They lost the essence. They were still doing mitzvahs. Mayim Lois brought down even when they went to the party, they ate kosher there. But it was without a heart, without a neshama. It was imitations in a certain sense. It was without Keli. It was mach v'rush. So what does Esther scream out and repeat it twice? Keli, Keli, lama zavtani. Keli, Keli. Why should you say it twice? Why not Keli, lama zavtani? One Keli to go back into the mach and one Keli to go back into rush. Keli, Keli, back into the rush and back to Yisrael. Keli, Keli, one Keli back into rush, one Keli back into Mach, and you have Michal and Yisrael, and we bring Hashem back. We bring the Neshama back. We bring the Neshama back into our lives. The Neshama back into our Yiddishkeit, the Neshama back into our learning, the Neshama back into our davening. It's the famous Torah of this fast emes, we've said it over so many times. The Gemara says, Oira zu Torah. Sasan zu Mila, Simcha zu Sudis Yamsav. Oira v'simcha, Simcha's Yantav, v'sasan, Mila, v'ikar is Tvillin. So why not just say, like, Yehudim Haisa, Torah, Suda, Mila, Tvillin? Why does it have to hint to it? So Asema says, it's not that we weren't doing the mitzvah, it's not that we stopped doing Mila, but we had no neshama, we had no yakar, we had no sasan, we had no simcha. Keli, Keli, bring the Keli back. Thank you so much. And we can find it in everything. And in our physical lives as well. Everything we do to connect to Hashem, to be one with Hashem. Mm-hmm. Listen to this one line in the Tanya. The Tanya in his first piece in Yichud V'Amuna. The Tanya tells us from the Heilig Ari HaKadosh. V'zeo Shekosev Arizal. We have to learn Tanya. I'm not going to start asking what the Chevra is learning. Obviously, Iker should be Iker. Is obviously to sit and learn Shas Paiskim and learn Gemara. But we have to supplement this with Avodah Shebelev of Sifrei Machshava, of Sifrei Chasidus, of Sifrei Musar. You can't live as a Yid without holding in Tanya. I don't know. He brings down for listen to this line, the Arizal, Vizel Shekosov Ari HaKadosh, Shegam Bedome Mamish, Gam Bedome Mashmim, also in the most real of inanimate objects in the world, the most inanimate objects in the world. This table. Kamo avonim v'ofer umayim, like stones, dirt, water. Yesh bechinash nefesh v'chayos ruchnius. There's a soul in there. There's godliness in there. There's keli in there. This is only here because this moment, God wills it to be here. This table, at any moment, if God wouldn't will it to be here right now, poof, it would disappear. We could have it, poof, we have to believe it. Mamish, this moment, it could just disappear. No, but God wants it to be here. This means there's a Rabbi Nishalom right here on this table. This Tish, this table, Rabbi Nishalom. There's Hashem right here, right now. There's Hashem in everything. When you think like that and you understand like that, there's hay in everything. It's not imitations anymore. You see the hay in the kuf. That's our avoid. It's not that. Vada, that's the whole entire point of the Bnei Yisachar. It's not to be lost and say, oh, the kuf is only imitation of hay, so Nisan will be close to Hashem, and there's one big facade of Teva. No. It's a reminder that so many are lost in that idea, and our avodah is to see the hay in the kuf. That's our avodah. So I want to end by reading you the words. You know, last week I did, and I just decided we have to again. We're still within the shloshim. With Tzadik Yisod Olam, who changed this world. I read the article from your brother. It was beautiful. Mami Yisrael Meir's brother had the schus to be close with and had the schus to learn from and grow from and be here. Because of his kesher to Rabbi Dr. Avram Tversky, Zecher Tzadik HaShavracha. And if you haven't yet read some of his works, now's a good time to start. Each book, each word he writes is just priceless. His understanding of the world, of humanity, of people, of psychology, and of Torah in a synthesis that he did, I don't know anyone else who did. His ability to touch people, to help people grow, to save people. He literally, you know, you say people save people's lives. He saves thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. I don't know what the number could be. I mean, just from, I don't mean an inspired and ruchnius, many more than that, but I just mean life and death. How many more people would not be alive, would not have built families? What the number would be, it's immeasurable. So let's just read a little bit from him. And it's really based on what we were just saying and everything we were just saying tonight. It's in this book, Tversky and Spirituality. I'll tell you where I got this book. I don't know, I took my kids like about a year ago to the library to take up books from the library. And I'm walking out of the library, and they have a table with books for free to take. And I saw this one. I said, how can I not take this one? I'm like, why would anyone ever get rid of something like that? But it changed my life, so that library trip was great. So, he has... See, that's why you should always listen to your wife. She knows. She knows where you're going to find it. So this is a chapter on purpose of existence. Pretty heavy. He writes, in Tanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi states that man's purpose is to discover the truth of all existence, which is that everything in the universe exists only because of a spark of divinity within it, like we just read. He points out that there is a tendency for all things to remain in their natural state unless there is a strong enough force to drive them from it. For example, the natural state of a stone lying in the ground is to remain there by the force of gravity, unless lifted by a force that exceeds the gravitational pull. If someone throws the stone high into the air, it will continue to rise only as long as the force of the thrower exceeds the gravitational pull. Once this force is exhausted, the stone returns to rest on the ground again. Since there was nothing in existence prior to creation, the natural state of the universe is nothingness. It required a force to bring the world into existence, and this force was the command of God for everything to come into being. If this force were ever exhausted, listen to these words, such a brilliant way of putting it. If this force was ever exhausted, it's from the Tanya, but he says it so beautifully in his words, the universe would disappear into nothingness again. Creation was thus not a single historical incident, but is essentially an ongoing process, meaning God is in all of us and everything in this world, every single moment. Rav Shneur Zalman points out that whereas an object fashioned by a craftsman continues to exist after it has left his hands, This is because the material from which the object was formed was in existence without the craftsman, and he merely altered its shape, as we call yesh miyesh. This is different than the universe coming out of nothingness, yesh me'ayin, which requires a sustaining force to keep it in existence. Within everything on earth, from the largest to the most minuscule, there's a spark of divinity which maintains its existence. This divine spark is concealed by the physical object it inhabits. And if man's perception were pure, he would see the divine spark. So if you're pure, you'll see the hay. If you're a hole digger, you'll see the kuf. The physical object thus masks the reality of God's presence in everything. Since everything is totally effaced in the divine presence, the only true reality is God. But in order for us to function as mortals, we see the objects as though they had an independent existence. Man's purpose is to penetrate the cloaks of concealment and recognize the true reality. What a beautiful line. You hear this line? I'll read it again. You gotta hear this line because it's Purim. It's Purim, it's Adar, it's seeing the hay and the kuf. Listen to these words from Rav Tursky. Man's purpose is to penetrate the cloaks of concealment and recognize the true reality. Thus, Rav Shneur Zalman says the last phrase of the verse in the Torah, which states that God is the Lord in the heavens above and on the earth below, there is no other, should better be read, there is nothing else. The only true existence is God. It is related, and we'll just end with this story, very short, that the Hasidic master of Mendel of Rimanov was walking, we've shared this story before, Rav Mendel of Rimanov was walking with his disciples when they came across a child crying. "Why are you crying?" Rav Mendel asked. "Because we were playing hide and seek. I hid myself, but none of the children is trying to find me." Rav Mendel turned to his disciples and said, "Can you imagine the anguish of God, who concealed himself within the physical world, but no one's trying to find him?" So it's time to find Hashem. There's a world of mach v'rash. There's a world of kuf. There's a world of monkeys. There's a world of concealment. But in that very same world, there's a world of keli, lama zaftani. There's a world of hay. There's a world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a world of neshama. There's a world of Rabbi Neshama that can exist by my side with me every single moment in everything that I do. And that's how I enter into Adar Aleph Dar, that Aleph, that Hashem is living in anything and everything. And it's with those feelings that we could finally grasp what it means to be Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. Because if I live my life in such a way with these mindsets, the simcha will increase every single moment. And I'll have a life of simcha, a life of bracha, a life of oneness with Hashem, a life of feeling content with myself, finding God within myself and everything in this world. Until we're zoicha to again have no more kufs that need to be uncovered and get back to the hay of Nisan with not just the giloy of Geula of Pesach, but the Geula Shleima with Mashiach Zakeinu, b'mehera b'yameinu.